Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 42 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Yay!
We had kind of a break there.
We did. We had back-to-back vacations.
Yeah, we had 2 days, and one of the days was Memorial Day, so Labor Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those.
Where we're both in town, so yeah. We just didn't get a chance to get together, but...
I'm back.
Yes.
And you're back.
And I'm back.
And here we are.
Yay!
So I went to California last week. My best friend, who's Amplified Mixtape on Ravelry.
Hi, Nikki.
Is in the Peace Corps now. She leaves Wednesday for the Ukraine. And she's going to be gone for 2 years and 3 months.
Wow.
To teach English. So, yeah, we went down to visit before I don't see her for 2 years. Yeah. Unless I can somehow
get to the Ukraine.
Wrangle a Ukraine trip. Yeah, which is no mean feat with a toddler.
I was going to say, that would be a lot of wrangling.
Yes. So I went down to visit, and while I was down there, my mom took Audrey all day Friday and some of Saturday morning, like took her overnight. And I went down to San Francisco and had lunch with Nicole from Stash and Burn, and I went to Imagine It, which is amazing.
So I keep hearing this, and we were talking about this yesterday, trying to understand, like, what makes this, I mean...
It's just, I think it's the variety,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, all the walls are covered with these cubbies that, the ceilings are really high,
mm-hmm.
so it just makes it feel like, you know, like a library of yarn.
But not, is it overwhelming, though?
I was a little overwhelmed, but I had a list, I'd written a list of kind of ideas of things I wanted to look at, because I went to their website and saw what they had that's different from what we have.
Yeah.
And just that they carry so, like, such a variety of things.
Okay.
And they did have some local stuff, too.
Oh,
I didn't get
cool.
any, but you know, they have all the mistake colors or unknown colors of Malabrigo, so I looked at some of those, and... What I did get was 2 skeins of the Tosh Chunky or Tosh Bulky, which they're test-selling for her in the forestry colorway, to knit the shawl-collared cowl by Alana Dacos.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically bought a bag of Malintosh. and then a skein of the Merino Light, Tosh mm-hmm. Merino Light, in the Baltic colorway, which is deep blue with, like, purple overdye.
Mm-hmm.
And a skein of Pashmina, which I've been wanting to try in the port colorway.
Yum.
Yeah. And then Nicole's mom was there, and she wanted to knit. Nicole to knit her a sweater. So she got one of the sweaters from the Land Girl. Big cabled, red cabled one.
Wow.
That's like, yeah, in Tosh DK. Beautiful.
Wow.
So she also had it was like a Madeline Tosh day. Like, my sister bought some, Nikki bought some, like, we all walked out with Madeline Tosh yarn. So.
Cool.
But they had so much. It was just...
Wow.
We spent, I think, probably 1.5 or 2 hours there.
Cool.
Working off our Indian food by buying yarn.
I went... On my vacation, I went to Vancouver, BC. And I decided to give the family a break and not plan to go to a bunch of yarn shops. But then it turned out we were going to drive right by Three Bags Full. So I was like, can we just... up on the way, and we stopped, and I got out of the car and crossed the street, and there was a little sign in the window saying, like, sorry for the inconvenience, but we're closed today, and I was like, boo. just completely changed subjects. I'm just reminding myself, we're talking about Three Bags Full. I was talking about it was when I came back from Vancouver. The day I came back was the night that Sylvia Harding was at the Knitters Guild.
Yeah, and I was sick.
Oh, boo. I know.
Because
I was sure Erin would come, because you've been knitting...
I knit
so much
Aphrodite
city
yeah.
stuff
yeah.
And Dryad too, right?
No, I got the yarn for it.
Okay.
I have it all set to go, but I haven't started it yet.
But because Sylvia used to live up in Vancouver, and now she's down in Portland. But she gave a great presentation at the Guild, and I think she got us all fired up about one pattern in particular that she did, that I guess had originally been done for a yarn club, like a Shakespeare themed thing. And hers is called Rosalind from Twelfth Night. And it's not quite Faroese-shaped shawl, but Faroese-ish shaped lace shawl. But the center panel, which is not as wide as a typical Faroese, it's narrower, is a braided cable.
Ooh.
I think they're beads, too. It's, like, it's way over the top, but we were all like, want. So yeah. She got us all excited about that, and a lot of her other patterns. I didn't realize That the Diamond Fantasy, which I've knit of hers, was her first one that she had published on her own. Yeah, anyway, it was funny. I was kind of trying to jog her memory. Like, she knew who I was from my blog because of the shawl progress calculator that's on my blog. But I was sort of trying to remind her of other things, times we had contact with each other, because she also attended the University of Chicago, where I went. And years ago, in the alumni magazine... You're right there, buddy.
She's eating grapes.
Yeah. She, there was an alumni... scarf. They'd done a scarf with the logo on it and whatever. And I was like, oh, look, there's a... And they had the pattern for it in the alumni magazine, which I thought was cute. And then I saw it was designed by Sivia Harding. And I was like, oh, I didn't know she went to the UC. So I hopped her a note saying, I didn't know... Because we had been... I think that was when I was knitting my Diamond Fantasy. So we'd been talking about it because she wanted to see it because I was doing it in handspun.
Oh.
Anyway. But so it was kind of funny. Like, I was putting all these different threads together for her, saying, oh, and then we met because of this, or we talked because of that. And suddenly it was like... Oh, that was all you. Okay, you know, it was easy for me to know. Yeah, it was funny. So, anyway, but she gave a really nice talk, and just so long as I'm talking Knitters Guild stuff, next month for October, Ann Weaver of Weaver Knits is going to be coming, and one of those funny things, she's coming and she's going to be staying with a friend, and the friend she's staying with is Hannah from the shop.
Oh!
Because they're friends from Boston.
That's weird.
I know. It's just... So, Hannah Engels, who's also a Ravelry designer, I can't remember what her Rav ID is, but she designed the trilobite hat for Nitty, and she's done a bunch of other designs.
She's the new girl at the shop.
Yeah, she just started working at the shop, and she's originally from the Boston area, but she actually had been living in Chicago, too, right by the University of Chicago. And
I mean, there was a reason you hired her besides her knitting prowess.
No, anyway, it's just really funny. It's like this super small world of, like, everybody knows everybody. Anyway, okay, that was a total tangent. I think we might need a separate show to cover everything you've been knitting, because you've been really busy.
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
I finished my Central Park hoodie.
Yes, you did.
I love it.
It's luscious. We were so covetous when you were wearing it and knitting. It's like
wearing a pillow.
Really beautiful pillow.
Yeah, so I actually have worn it and taken a nap without a pillow, and it works just fine. Like, just put the hood under your head.
Because
like,
it's the Malabrigo twist in Azul Profundo, which is just gorgeous.
Yeah, and I'm going to try and get pictures up. It's a hard color to photograph well, so I'm going to see if Louise will bring her camera on Sunday and help me take pictures.
Oh, that's cool.
She's a photographer.
Yeah.
A photographer. And then,
did you alternate skeins when you knit with a twist?
Yes, okay. I did. Yeah.
That's good. I always try to tell people to do that. I think people feel like it's a bit of a hassle, but
it wasn't that bad.
I think it's really worth it.
I didn't get any
sudden color shifts or anything.
I didn't really worry about it in the ribbing at all.
It's sort of a separate piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did it for the rest of it, and I didn't have any pulling or anything. It's just like... Beauteous.
That is really
cool.
Love
it. And the Daphne and Mystery shawl is done. It's blocking in my room.
I saw a little snapshot of it on Ravelry. How big is it?
It's... my yarn was lighter, too, than the Dream and Color Baby that she used.
Uh-huh.
It's like... I don't know.
Okay, our listeners can't see you holding your hands like that. Erin is holding her hands about 3 feet apart.
Yeah, I'd say maybe 48 inches, 50 inches by like 24. It's a half circle.
Okay.
So, and it's really pretty. I like it.
So is it a full half circle or is it just kind of a crescent?
Well, I'm blocking it to a full half circle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Is that fun to do?
Yeah, I liked it. And she did that. So the first clue, like when you first start, is the biggest one. Because it goes really fast,
and then they
get shorter and shorter, which I like. I took it as vacation knitting because it's so compact.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like it was... I've always worried about something like that because I think it might... If I ever get stuck on lace, it's helpful for me to look at the lace
picture.
Pattern
yeah.
and then sort of compare it to what I'm doing. So was it a challenge at all not to know what it was supposed to look like?
No, not really. Because the charts, you can kind of visualize from charts what it's supposed to look like, and she had written and charted instructions.
Okay.
So, and I could definitely see if I got off what was supposed to happen, because there's kind of vertical lines where things bloom from.
Oh, that's good.
It's not leaf, but everything is symmetrical. That's so it's really easy to see if I got off pattern, which I think only happened on one row, and it was, I was trying to knit on it the day I traveled, which was really stupid because I was really tired. So I finished that, and that was in the Madeleine Tosh lace, which, that's my favorite lace yarn.
Yeah?
My favorite. It's like, it feels plumper when you're knitting it, because it's a merino, and it's like, squishy.
Yeah.
Than other lace yarns, which I feel like are really delicate. Stringy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got, there's more coming in the shop today. We've got a shipment due.
Ooh. And I think I have about half the skein left.
Wow.
So I don't know if it was a really generous skein.
900 yards?
950.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to weigh it and see how much I have left.
Cool.
But probably enough for another small project.
Yeah.
And then I'm kind of doing single skein September, although I just started updating pictures. So I did the mock cable wristers from 60 Quick Knits, the Cascade 220 book. And they're just little hand warmers that have a mock cable.
Like a giant one on the back of the hand.
Yeah, and I had a partial skein of Dream and Color Classy in Happy Forest, and it used about 100 yards.
Oh, cool.
And those are fast, super fast. And then out of that same book, I knit the striped graduated scarf, and I just used scraps. So I had some black Cascade 220, and then three shades of Portland tweed left over from my the sweater I did last year.
The Fair Isle one.
So it's a slip stitch pattern, kind of tweedy, and you knit with the black or whatever, and then you do stripes of the black and the next darkest color, and then you do the next darkest color, so it's graduated stripes. Right.
So how I saw you when you were just starting that. How big was the finished one? It looks like it's kind of narrowing.
It is kind of narrow. I think if I did it again, I would make the graduating part not as angular. Mm-hmm. Like, make it...
It's shaped also?
Yeah.
So, like, it's a shallow triangle?
You do short rows.
Oh, short rows. Okay.
So, it's kind of like a hexagon. No, not a hexagon.
How many sides?
What is that shape?
We're drawing in the air again.
It's like a square but longer on one side.
Trapezoid.
That word escapes me.
Which is also a parallelogram.
Yes. It is that shape, which I could not remember. And it just kind of wraps around like once. So
cool.
Yeah. But I like it. The Portland tweed's awesome to work with.
Yeah. It was looking really pretty when you were working on it and knitting.
Yeah. Graduating the colors is really fun.
Yeah, and that's a great way to use up scraps.
Yeah, because
mix them all up. And
I used the rest of one Portland tweed color, and then I still have some of two other ones.
Oh, wow.
But I think I'm going to do those mittens that are in there that are like a slip stitch pattern. They're like a check pattern, and do them in a coordinating
thing. Oh, yeah.
So. And I did the women's hand wrist warmers from From Last Minute Knitted Gifts, which is a free pattern now on Ravelry, out of Quigu Kirstie.
Are those the little spiral ones?
Yeah, spiral
rib. Okay, I've done those too, yeah.
Yeah, so that's like one skein. I had some left over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really quick one. That takes like 80 or 90 yards. It's like, boom, instant.
And that's Quigu Kirstie, the merino crepe that I got from Amanda. And those were fun.
I have some Kirstie from Amanda too. It was this like crazy, like, screaming bright mustardy orange that I'm like my least favorite color in the world, and I over dyed it like a billion times to get some kind of really sick green. But I've got four skeins of it, which is kind of a weird amount. It's like, what do you do with 450 yards of DK weight? And it's like not really, it's not the color you would knit something for a baby in.
Yeah,
because it's
leave my coffee alone, please. Not Jeff's coffee.
Yeah, not me. I've got my own coffee. So that's always a puzzle when you have those, like, kind of weird amounts. It's like, I know I could do, like, a hat with, like, one skein of it, but then what do I do with the rest of it?
You have to, like, combine it with something else.
I guess so. I have this weird, like,
I like knitting with it, though. Have you knit with
that? I haven't. It's a cable construction, right?
Yeah. It, like, compresses down a lot and is, like, nice and squishy and a little bit stretchy when you knit with it.
Yeah, well, it's another merino. Nice.
Yeah. It was lovely.
So cool.
On here. my milkweed shawl.
Yeah. So I don't know if we mentioned our knitting group, we kind of do some informal knit-alongs too that sometimes match up with what we're doing as knit-alongs on the podcast also, but a bunch of people are doing the milkweed shawl. I'm not doing it, but I'm just behind perpetually. Yeah,
that's Cosmic Pluto. Mm-hmm.
And you knocked yours out in like 10 minutes.
Maybe a little bit longer. Yeah, it was over a week.
It felt really fast. Like you were like, we're going to knit the milkweed. And then like, here's mine. And everyone else was like, what?
And I started after but finished before. Whatever, people. I used Sundara sock yarn in the bronzed sienna color. Mm-hmm. So pretty.
That is pretty.
Yeah. It was fun. Because it's garter lace, I marked the center stitch on the front side so I could tell when I was first setting it up what side I was on, because you do increases on both sides on the end, so that was a little confusing. But once you get past the first, I'd say two charts, it's kind of smooth sailing, so.
Cool.
And last night, stop, please. You're coloring on my list. I bound off of my first ever baby surprise jacket.
Yay!
It's so cool.
Elizabeth Zimmerman rocks.
Yeah, knitting origami, basically. Yeah. And I used Dream and Color Smushy in a tonal brown color that was from a yarn club that I got in a trade with somebody else. And I think that's alpaca silk.
Oh, okay.
From my sweater that I had left over. I just liked the color combination. So I striped that in the beginning and then at the very end, the two little stripes. It is a cool piece of knitting.
Isn't it awesome?
And I took that on vacation to work on in the car.
Oh, that's really good for that, because you don't have to really look down or...
Yeah.
I can't look at my knitting while I drive.
I was like, okay, I just have to get to this many stitches. I'm just increasing here.
Yeah.
Go.
I love that pattern. I don't know, I think I've knit like four of them now.
And someone's weed whacking outside, so sorry if you can hear it. It's kind of loud. And I was talking about it last night when I was at the shop, and someone bought the pattern because I was talking about mine and how awesome it was.
Yeah. Well, and then the pattern has, I don't know if we talked about it on this podcast before, the pattern has been rewritten and issued. Like, originally the pattern appeared in Knitter's Workshop. In the appendix, and it's very, you know, classic Elizabeth, really pithy instructions, or there was a spun out from Schoolhouse Press, like a little one-pager that went over it. Oh, sweetie. But then Schoolhouse has since,
You okay? Are you dying? Are you gonna expire on the podcast?
Then Schoolhouse has since issued it as, like a pattern booklet where it's called the Adult Baby Child Surprise Jacket.
The ABC.
SJ.
Yeah.
And what they've done is made it, it's more line by line, and they've also kind of given you like a little, worksheet so that you basically can create any size you want and any gauge you want to understand the math of it, so it's very extensive now. It's like this big pamphlet with lots of information in it, but it's great, and it's just one of those patterns that if you haven't knit it, it is kind of magical, and it's one of those things where you're like, I don't understand what the big deal is about Elizabeth Zimmerman, I don't understand her patterns, blah blah blah. You knit one of these, and then you just kind of have that moment of like, this woman was a genius, the fact that she just thought this thing up. Anyway, so let's see. So next on your list was
Elizabethtown. From the Monos.
Which is a movie by Cameron Crowe. Oh, no.
from that Monos book.
Oh, the Adirondack accessories?
Yeah, it's the cabled neck warmer.
Oh, okay.
And I knit it in a skein of Monos.
Cool.
That was really fast. I used up almost a whole skein, and I have it blocking. My cat was mad that I left, so she peed on some of my knitting while it was blocking.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
So I had to tried to wash it, and I came home and washed it like five more times.
Aww.
Like soaked it in that miracle
bad
stuff.
Bad kitty.
It's like, why did you leave the door open?
Bad kitty.
Yeah. Oh. So, anyways, all the cat pee smells out of
it.
It's blocking again. But it's in a pretty gold color, and it's like color X or something.
Oh, yeah, the topaz, I think it is.
Yeah,
that one's really popular.
Be free, child.
All right.
Right.
So.
And then the movie star scarf from More Last Minute Knitted Gifts, which is like 100 yards of lace weight.
It's just that little kind of ascot thing.
Yeah.
Little crisscross.
You know, me and ascots.
Yeah. what?
what? And I just used the rest of that yarn I had from Aphrodite. Blue. And I ran out of yarn, so it's a little dinky on one side, but whatever. I just blocked the hell out of it.
It's scottier.
Yeah. Just stretched it, like, well, lengthwise.
It's asymmetrical. It's fashion forward now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a lot of knitting.
Yeah, it sure is.
Holy crappers, Erin.
So, and then you've only got one thing listed under your works in progress.
Yeah, because I bound off my BSJ.
Yeah.
So, last night. My Red Work cowl and mitts, that's from Knitting 24/7. It's a striped cowl with matching little striped mitts in fresco. The pattern says, the pattern says one skein of each color will get you the mitts and the cowl. That's not true. I had worked on the cowl while I was up here and then waited to measure Nikki because they're a going away present for Nikki. She already knows this. Because I figured it's probably cold in the Ukraine. She needs warm layering things that are small because she has a weight limit for packing.
Right.
So, so I waited till I got down there to do the mitts and then, to measure her hand. And so I finished the first one and then got 2/3 of a second mitt. And ran out of the, I'm doing red and gray, and I ran, the red is the main color, and I ran out.
Ooh.
And she leaves next Wednesday, and then I think I forgot my book in California.
Oh, no.
So, I'm gonna, I don't know, my sister hasn't called me back to see, to say if she found it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my sister's gonna be here in a few weeks, so I thought I would just finish it and then mail them to Nikki's mom. Mm-hmm. And when she sends her first package over, she can include them.
Oh.
Sorry, Nikki.
Sorry. So what's coming up for you then? That's, I mean, you'll be done knitting those in like
I bought
a
all
minute.
That yarn.
Yeah.
So
did you have big plans for all of the stuff you got? Or did you just
I have plans for it. I usually buy with stuff in mind.
Yeah.
So the Pashmina, I was thinking I would knit this, let me click on it, this Twisted Rib Neck Warmer by Michelle Johnston in the Pashmina. Because it's in a sport weight, and it's a cashmere. Well, hers is 100% cashmere.
Yeah.
And it takes 328 yards, and Pashmina's like 360, 350, uh-huh. Something like that.
Cool.
So that's like the perfect amount.
Oh, it's a free pattern, too.
Yes, and it's a free pattern. And it's just a twisted rib. It's a big, huge cowl that you can like loop over once or twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually that's funny because Civvy had one of those too that was like big enough that you could like pull down over your shoulders that was called the Harmonia cowl, I think.
Oh yeah,
it was a Mobius.
Yeah.
And like looking at it in person, suddenly everyone was like, ooh, I want that. Because yeah, it's so like snuggly for fall.
I have just been fantasizing about huge cowls and things that I can like wrap a billion times around my head to be warm.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure part of this is coming back from, it was like mid-70s to mid-80s the whole time I was in California. I got off the plane, it's like
and
muggy.
And here it's a brutal 65.
But it was like pouring rain.
Yeah,
and whenever it pours rain, I'm like, I just want to like snuggle on the sofa and knit and like drink coffee or tea and like watch horror movies.
Like something nice and comforting like that.
Yes. Ah.
That's funny.
So that I think is what I'm gonna do with my Pashmina.
And you said the chunky you're gonna do the shawl collar.
The shawl collar cowl.
You're gonna like have like a giant bag of cowls by the time fall is over.
I'm so excited.
One for every day of the week.
Yeah. And then what else did I get?
You said the Tosh Light.
Yeah, I don't have a plan for that. Probably a little shawl or something. Because that's 460 yards of fingering weight. It's such a pretty color.
I actually bought yarn yesterday at the shop, which, because after the whole small shawl conversation, I've got a subscription to Rosemary Hill's.
Oh, yeah, she came out with their new
shawls.
One.
And, like, I was complaining before, like, all of them require just enough yarn that I don't have yarn in my stash. Mm-hmm. Like, all the sock yarns, for some reason, I have in my stash are, like, just under 400 yards.
Keep talking, and close the window.
Oh, sure. And all the shawls, it seems, all want, like, 450 yards or 440 yards. And since I have a pretty good track record of running out of yarn on a project, I don't want to be that close to it.
Right.
So I bought myself a skein of Schaefer Ann.
Oh.
In that spruce colorway. Oh. That's just so pretty.
Love.
And I think I'm going to do the newest one that she just released, which I cannot remember. It's like Calendo or Kale. I don't. It's
yeah,
one
I got it
even
too.
If you pull it up, I won't be able to pronounce it for you because I don't know how to pronounce it. But it has beads in it as well.
Oh, yeah. And it's, like, a blue color.
I just thought maybe I'd go... I don't know, that, or I'm kind of... I'm like, that, or maybe the Merope one. I don't know. So I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. I didn't say... Heidi's Yarn Haven, which is the LYS in Ukiah.
Mm-hmm.
I went there because I needed a needle. I was using DPNs for the mitts,
mm-hmm.
and didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't bring my long circular for that, so I went to get a circular needle. Well, I was back there where the needles are. She had Oricanian Nature Wool on clearance for $9 a skein.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a sweater's worth of that. So in color 16, which is like forest green.
And that's in the light worsted? Not the chunky or the...
Not the chunky.
No.
The worsted.
I knit forestry in that.
Oh, yeah?
The, whatever it was called, the Veronique Avery from Vogue a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Which I still have to rip the collar out and re-knit. I've never worn it.
So I was thinking about knitting the Acer cardigan in that. That's the cable lace one.
Might be a little... No, I guess it's not too light for that, because that was originally done in the oval.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And I bought 6 skeins, so I'm covered as far as yardage goes.
That's
it's 200. Yardage. I just wanted to make sure if I wanted something cable-y that mm-hmm. I had enough, because I would have just gotten 5. But
that's cool.
Yeah, $9 a skein.
Yeah.
It's like 12, usually.
Mm-hmm. I think. That's cool.
Woohoo! Yeah, so I'm like, sweaters and tiny things that just, yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Let's see. Let me pull up my list. So what I've been knitting, basically...
I took a long time. Sorry.
That's okay, because you've been knitting a ton. So I've discovered that when you knit 3 sweaters at the same time, progress is slow. So I don't have a ton to... So I finished Audrey Nunst.
Yay!
Yay! And I took it with me when I went to Vancouver, and I was just like finishing the last sleeve, and I got to the cuff, and then I couldn't finish the cuff. Because I didn't have the right needle. I grabbed all the wrong needles for this trip. It was like the theme of my trip was wrong needle size. So I didn't have the needles for that. And then I didn't have... And I did have the needle to do the front bands, but I didn't want to... I don't know. So I set that aside. And I was also knitting... the shop is doing our first ever knit along. And we're knitting Katarina by Coco Knits. And the knit along starts October 10th. And I picked it because I think it's a great simple sweater, like simple to knit, good for a beginner. If it's your first sweater, it's a pretty straightforward sweater to knit. But I also think it comes in a very wide range of sizes, from like a 32 up to like a 2 or a 3X.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I think it's also a really flattering shape for a wide variety of figures. Which is not always the case with sweaters, that you could put it on someone who's very petite or someone who's plus size and still have it be a flattering line.
Yeah.
And I think this one is good for that.
And you're knitting it in Blackstone tweed.
So I'm knitting it in Blackstone tweed for the shop, which is gorgeous. When I was knitting it in the car too, I kept seeing it, you know, in the full sunlight. And so it has, I can't remember the exact percentages, but it's got about 20 or 25% mohair, mm-hmm. and then 10% or so of Angora. And the mohair just catches the light and gives this little, like, reflected light, and, like, the colors are kind of juiced up in the mohair, like, brighter and lighter than the rest of the sweater. I'm doing it in a very dark, dark blue. I think it's called...
I like that color.
Is it called Nor'easter? I can't remember now which one it's called. It's one of the new colors of the season. Really, really dark blue, but then there's flecks of like bright turquoise in it. It's quite beautiful. It's really nice to work with. It's a little sheddy when you're knitting with it, and but I think once I wash it, it'll be fine. But it's not like crazy. Like when
so you
I
think
knit,
it's gonna plump up.
I know it's gonna plump up because I know everyone says it blooms a lot, but so. Part of my wrong needle size saga, though, is that I knit the entire sweater while on vacation on the wrong needle. And I suppose, because the thing with the sweater, it's a drapey open front cardigan.
So it's all like a size 8, right?
Well, you're supposed to take a worsted weight yarn that maybe you would normally knit on a 7, and you knit it on an 8, and you take a yarn that you would normally knit at like 4.5 stitches to the inch, and you knit it at 4 stitches to the inch.
Okay.
Kind of open it up and get a nice drape. I knit mine on a 7. So, at the very end, like, I'm putting the collar on, you know, I'm like still knitting the collar, but as I was working on it, I'm like, this seems kind of small. I'm like holding it up like, I don't know, you get that tunnel vision where you're just focusing on the part you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't ever, like, stand back and look at the whole thing. So I was supposed to be making a 32-inch chest size, so I, like, called my older son over, like, come here for a minute, honey. And I'm like, here, I just need to do something. And I measured his chest. And I was like, oh, he's got, I can't remember now, like, a 31-inch chest. And I was like, here, hang on one second. I, like, threw the sweater on him. And he's 12, so he was like, can I be done now? And he was not very happy with this whole, like, wearing the girl's sweater thing. And I pulled it on him, and it, like, just barely... But I think I'll be able to block it quite a bit. I'm still working on the collar. The collar is, you know, 200-something stitches, and then 5 inches of garter. And I've been working on it at the shop, so I haven't been making, like, huge progress on it. But I took it home last night and knit on it while I watched Project Runway. So I've got, like, an inch to go, and then it'll be all done. And then I will soak it and block the daylights out of it, and hopefully it'll... grow a little bit, but that's I just awesome. Keep telling everybody at the shop that it's an extra small, but I feel bad because now it doesn't really represent, like, when they knit theirs, theirs is going to be drapier, and it's just not, anyway, so dumb me, oh well, but when I realized that it was like, I'm not going back and re-knitting this entire sweater, so still finishing that one up, and then I'm also still working on that garter yoke cart, it's not a garter yoke, it's a top-down circular yoke, all garter cardigan, and I keep thinking, like, oh, now it's enough that I can take it, you know, that I can separate out the sleeves, and I'll put the whole thing on waist yarn and try it on, and nope, not big enough, and then I'm like, oh, crap, put back on the needles, I'm like, oh, now, no, and, you know, it's that horrible black hole part of knitting a top-down sweater where you've got the yoke and the sleeves on, you know, all at once, and it's just so many stitches, and it's garter stitch, and it's just like this yarn eating monster, and I'm like knitting and knitting and knitting and knitting and knitting, and it's not getting any bigger. Yeah. You know, I can knit through like a whole TV show, and there's like the two extra ridges on it or something. I mean, it's just so slow. So I still, and I'm like, no, I'll separate the sleeves, and then this will go faster. Come on. But I grabbed a couple of more. I only had one skein. So it's the top is my hand spun and the bottom is Imperial Stock Ranch.
Pretty.
Which is matching up really nicely. But so I grabbed some more of the Imperial Stock because I'd only got one skein to play with first just to make sure it would work together. So I'm in the middle of that. Like, I'm just like in the depths of endless garter stitch between the Katarina and then this. And then I was like, well, and then I picked up my... that cabled braid that I started for our knit along that I never finished is like, all I was going to do is one stinking hat in one skein of Nordique and I couldn't get it done. So I finally started knitting it and it's like, you know, it's just that first couple, like that first pattern repeat of a cable pattern. And this is not a tricky cable pattern, but just something about that is like so slow. And even though it's just like a little tiny braid, there's like 200 and some odd stitches on it, little needles. So it's just kind of... a little fiddly. So
you need to cast on something really small that's on like a size 8 needle or something.
Funny you should say that. So then I was like, I need to do something else. Like, I need something a little more instant gratification. So I cast on for a clamber, which is a free hat pattern that is, I think, is meant to be like a companion piece. It's not designed by, it's meant to be a companion piece to the Irish hiking scarf. It's not designed by the same designer, but someone sort of took the cables off of that. And so it's the same construction as a lot of cabled hats where you knit a narrow cabled band that you join and then you'll pick up and knit the crown of the hat. So I just started that and I've started it with some leftover Socks That Rock medium weight that I used a couple years ago to knit a hat for Wes.
Mm-hmm.
It's my like sitting in front of the computer knitting, so I knit like one repeat every day or something, so it's not getting really big. But because I also, I don't know what I was thinking, like when I'd finished Audrey, Katarina was at the shop, my garter cardigan was like upstairs, I didn't really feel like knitting on my beret, so I thought, oh, I'm gonna pull out my, I don't know why, it was like 11 o'clock at night, like dumbest idea ever, I'm gonna pull out my frost flower and leaves and take a look at that. Because it was just hanging on the chair next to me.
Yeah.
And I took it out, and I looked at the stitch counter, and the counter said I was should be on round 83, which is the beginning of a new repeat of the main pattern. And I looked at the pattern, and I looked at the knitting, and it seemed like that was right. And then I was like, okay.
Seemed, right?
Seemed, yeah. And then I'm like... looking at it going, oh, well, this marker is the beginning of the round marker. And then I thought, wait, or is this one the beginning of the round marker? Or, and then I'm like looking at the whole thing and I'm like, no, this one's the beginning of the round marker. Okay, I'm good. All right, so I start knitting across and everything is lining up, yay. And I get to, it's a square knit in the round. So I get to the first corner and I'm off. So I'm like, oh man. I'm looking, I see I've made a mistake. So I go back, fix the mistake I made. I knit to the end and I'm off. And I take it back and I look at the stitches and I look at the chart and I look at the stitches. And this is like, I mean, I've done like 200 and God knows how many stitches because I've got over 900 stitches on this whole thing right now. And I'm like, cannot find the mistake. Like everything seems right. And I'm looking, I can't figure it out. And then to compare, I looked at another side of it. So I'm stretching it all out. I'm looking at another side of it to look at that compared to what I have. And then looking at that and looking at the chart, like, I think I made a mistake somewhere like two or three rounds down, which means I have to rip out like 2,500 stitches. I know. So, but I'm not positive. And at that point it was about midnight and I thought, I'm not going to make any really good decisions right now. And I stuffed it back in the bag and maybe, it's just so funny. I don't know what it is about that project. I know when I started it, it was an immense challenge for me. And I mean, I'd never done anything that was patterned on both sides. The scale of it is huge. And I was really intimidated by it. I was really scared by it. Now I look at it and it doesn't seem, in theory, like that challenging a project to me. Mm-hmm. But when I hold that project in my hands, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Aww. I'm like completely intimidated by this project. And I'm terrified, like, I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to put so much work into it. Like, someone was saying to me, like, it's time to just frog that and forget about it. It's like, hell no. Like, I have worked so much on this project. And, like, I am not tearing it out. That's not going to happen. But, yeah, it's just really funny. I don't know what happens to me when I'm working on it.
Bring like, into a cold sweat.
I feel really intimidated. Like, I'm going to screw it up. Something bad's going to happen. I should put a lifeline in now. I should do that. And I need to take it, you know, somewhere quiet where there's no distractions and just really, although I'm sure if I took it somewhere quiet, I'd get like kicked out because I talk to myself like an insane person while I'm working on it going, okay, wait, there's the message, and that's the, okay, that's lining up. That's okay. I'm like, Wes kept walking by me and I'm sure he was like, she's nuts. What is she doing? And I was like mumbling to myself and he's like, I'm going to bed now. I'm like, uh-huh. Okay. And just going insane trying to do this. So, oh well, someday. Anyway, thought I kind of wanted to mention a little bit, there are a couple new books at the shop that I think people are pretty excited about, like, Brave New Knits.
Oh, yeah.
Which I got a copy of for myself last night, and I cannot remember the editor's name, but it's a compilation of designs by sort of really well-known blogger/designers. Mm-hmm. So, Jared Flood, Isolde Teague, Stephanie Chappelle, Shannon Oakey, Melissa Worley, Connie Chang Chinchio.
Yeah.
And then Jared Flood also did all the photography for it. So it's pretty beautifully photographed. Although there are a few patterns, I just find myself sometimes looking at his photography and wanting to like hold the book further away from myself, hoping I can get a better view. Yeah. He gets in so tight on things sometimes I feel like I don't really know what this looks like.
Yeah.
And I kind of like keep finding myself like wishing I could step back and get
like
a better
in,
view.
Crime television things where they go like bleep bleep blah bloop and they like zoom in. Oh, and yeah. It's crystal clear.
Yeah, exactly.
If only. Yeah.
But anyway, it's got a lot of really interesting patterns and a very wide array of patterns. There's sweaters in there. There's accessories in there. There's a blanket. All sorts of fun stuff. And then the other really exciting releases that came this last week or so, the re-release of Alice Starmore's Erin Knitting.
Which I looked at last night. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. I mean, I love the original book, and then she's added a new pattern to it that definitely has a more contemporary...
The purple one
one that has a more contemporary shape to it.
Yes.
Because, excuse me, most of the patterns in the book are not very shaped.
They're like drop shoulder,
yeah,
straight
big,
up and down.
Boxy. Yeah. But it's in that purple, which just seems really dated to me, which is funny that it's the new pattern, but in that screaming purple. But this is one of those books that was selling on eBay for like $400, $500. So now you can get it for $29.95.
Woohoo!
Which is great. And I've wanted to knit a St. Bridget for a really long time. So maybe Well, I don't know. The way I've been knitting these days, I don't know.
Because you need another sweater on your needles.
I know. Oh, I'm so... Anyway, and the other big re-release, I don't know what's going on with me, is the Knitter's Almanac. And these actually were both done by Dover. And so for the Knitter's Almanac, Elizabeth Zimmerman's fantastic almanac, they have done a new issue edition of it that hardcover. Is hardcover. It has color photography, including projects from people around the internet. It has the February Lady sweater in it. It has a new introduction by Stephanie Pearl McPhee. It has a new introduction by Meg Swanson, and it's quite lovely, and it doesn't have, like, tons and tons of new information in it, but I feel compelled to own it because it's
I was just thinking about that. I was like,
it's just so nice.
Do I need two copies?
It's like, and if you've never read The Knitter's Almanac, you really need to, because it's not just a knitting book. It's like a little story. I mean, it's just... Yeah. It's so Elizabeth. It's just, I just, it's one of those ones, like that one and Knitting Around to Me are the two books of hers. When you read it, you really feel like you're in her presence.
Yeah, I remember when I first bought the Knitter's Almanac, I was reading it in bed and then left it there. And then I came in, like, a couple nights later and Noah was reading it.
Well,
he's like, this is very entertaining.
Yeah, Meg says that she hears from non-knitters quite often who have found the almanac and read it and just find it very entertaining to read even if you're not interested in the knitting.
And then we were arguing over it because I was like, I'm not done with it yet. And he's like, but I want to read it.
Give it back.
I know.
Anyway, so you've been watching anything?
Yes.
You must be watching something if you're doing all that knitting.
Yeah, well, when I was in California, I spent pretty much the whole day on my sister's covered back porch because it was so nice out knitting with Nikki and my sister when she was on her lunch, and then in the evenings. What did we watch? I rewatched some stuff with them.
Did you go to the movies?
No, I wanted to.
Oh, okay.
But didn't make it. Because Friday night when my mom had Audrey overnight, instead of going to the movies, like, I was kind of planning on doing, we went to the bar. And I was there quite late. So, and I don't do that anymore. So.
All right. Well, I watched a bunch of stuff. Here, I've made up for, I haven't knit a bunch of stuff, but I've watched a ton of stuff. Stars has this new, had this new series called Pillars of the Earth that's based on a Ken Follett novel. In my humble opinion, total crap. I made it through two episodes, and it makes the Tudors look subtle and restrained. It is.
They're not.
It is, like, endless, like, mustache twirling, and, like, I was saying to Wes that, like, the villains aren't just villains. They are, like, unattractive, dirty, incestuous. Like, I mean, it's, like, it's so over the top. I couldn't take it. So farewell, Pillars of the Earth. And then I also watched Skins, Volume 3 is on Watch Instant now. And these are all on Watch Instant. And I really liked Skins 1 and 2. This third one, I just don't think... They've got sort of a whole new group of kids now because at the end of Volume 2, like, they ended Volume 2. Those kids were not going to be back on the show. And I just didn't think they were anywhere near as interesting or as compelling. Also, the tone got a lot broader. Like, it was more... Porky's slapstick kind of kooky, and then it would suddenly turn serious, and it's like, I can't take you seriously because you've been too stupid before. So, and I also watched the series Doc Martin, which is, I think, has four series that are all on Watch Instant, and it's about a very uptight London surgeon who develops a blood phobia and, like, an anxiety disorder, and becomes a GP in a very small Cornish town. And so it's sort of your classic, like, fish out of water, but it's done, it's pretty charming, and it has sort of a, like, a smidge of, like, House to it, in that there's sort of always, like, some sort of medical issue, like, mystery that he's sort of dealing with a little bit. It's not always like that, but sometimes there's that aspect to it, and that he's just so brusque and abrasive, and, you know, in... Anyway, but it's pretty cute, and there's a lot of actors in it from other things that I've enjoyed, so I found that kind of entertaining. I also watched the documentary Sweetwater, which is on Watch Instant, and it's about the, it was shot in 2008, and it's about the last year that shepherds were able to take their flocks in Montana and graze them on public land. So it's really interesting because it's a documentary that has absolutely no voiceover, no narration, no anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just straight up like visuals. And so you just kind of get, the first half is really like just like the sheep and the landscape, and and the second half you get more about like the shepherds, the people who are out there in the wilderness with a flock of sheep for camping out with them. And it's very interesting, and it's very it's really restrained. It's like really like they're kind of, the camera is sort of held back, and it just, you're just observing, and there's no editorializing, or it's just really and it's quite interesting. I mean, it's on the one hand, it's a really interesting document of just that part of the country and like the landscape, but also just on this way of life that I think for most of us we think doesn't exist any longer and is, you know, won't exist much longer. So it was really quite interesting. And, you know, there's a lot of sheep, so yay sheep. and then, let's see what else. I also watched Entourage Season 6, which was, like, the most throwaway season ever.
I've never,
like,
seen that show.
Felt like they were just sort of filling space so they could get to Season 7 and get syndicated and be done. And, yeah, so it's a cute show. I mean, the first couple seasons I liked a lot. It's got a lot of kind of Hollywood, I don't want to say insider, but, you know, it pokes fun at, like, everything about Hollywood quite well. And they get a lot of people from the entertainment industry to come in and play themselves and kind of lampoon themselves and lampoon the industry, and which is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I did watch a documentary, actually. Mm-hmm. American Hardcore.
Oh, okay.
About the punk rock hardcore movement from 1980 to 1986. So that it's, like, the guys from Bad Brains are in it, and Henry Rollins, of course, who actually was not as annoying as I found him in other documentaries.
I like him.
God. He just does that, like, a-hole, fast-talking, in-your-face thing, and he was much more, like, just subdued in this one, so.
He was a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. I love him. He was awesome on that.
I bet that would be... Yeah, I just, when he's doing that thing, and I just want to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And Ian MacKay, so it's like, what I found interesting about it was they had original footage, bands I hadn't heard of before, because it's usually like Black Flag, Minor Threat, Bad Brains, like, and then a few West Coast, other West Coast people. But they talked about different regions of the country, except Seattle. Like, they mentioned Seattle in passing, but, like, didn't mention any any bands that were here whatsoever.
In the early 80s, was there that much of a punk scene in Seattle? I don't know.
Yeah, I think Tomato DePlenty,
okay,
who was part of the Screamers, I believe he's from Seattle and then moved to L.A.
Okay.
But it was really interesting, and I love original footage of those shows. And then they talk about the progression, how things changed, and then how, you know, Bad Brains went to this whole Rasta sound, and they were considered traitors to the scene. And what the most interesting thing is, it was very heavily male, but it's also really, really young kids. It wasn't people in their 20s, like it's like a grassroots movement. It was kids who were like 12, 13, 14, 15, all incredibly young. I think Bad Brains were probably the oldest in the whole thing. And, like, it's kids who are, like, living on the streets and, like, squatting in houses. Mm-hmm. You know, sadly, a lot on drugs, although they were the straight-edge guys. I just find it really interesting that they were so young in doing all this stuff.
Yeah, it's that's
amazing.
Cool. We went to Bumbershoot this year, which for me was the first time I went, and the reason we went was because Weezer was going to be on the main stage, and so we wanted to take the kids. But so so we only went for one day, but one of the acts that we saw was the School of Rock All-Stars, and they were so much fun. This is like, School of Rock is this, I mean, I think now it's like a franchise program, but it's basically like, you know, rock classes for kids, but they put this group together that were, I don't know, like 15 or 20 kids, and they would kind of rotate them out, and they did, you know, it was like a lot of classic rock. Like, they did The Who, and they did Zeppelin, and they did, no, I'm totally blanking out on what else. Anyway, but so they did a whole bunch of stuff, but they brought out this one kid. They did Cheap Trick's Surrender, and they brought out this kid who could not have been more than 9 years old to play the drums, and he was amazing. I mean, I was standing there with my older son, and I kept saying, like, can you believe how tiny that kid is on the drums? And he just totally killed it. I could not stop watching him through the whole thing. It was amazing. But it was really funny, although I was saying to someone, like, watching a 16-year-old girl sing Whole Lot of Love was, like, awkward. Like, please don't ask me.
Yeah,
don't say you want to be my backdoor man or give me every inch of your love. It was just icky. Ew.
Yeah, because I likened it to Arrested Development
when an Afternoon Delight. Exactly.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because most of the singers they had were girls, but they had them singing like they did. So they did a Whole Lot of Love. They did Immigrant Song. They had a girl who sang Immigrant Song who was really great,
mm-hmm.
which was fun. Or they did. Who song did they do? I'm totally blanking out. Don't Get Fooled Again. And but so most of it was all being sung by girls. Mm-hmm. They had one guy, and he sang Sultans of Swing, and then something else, because he had a fairly deep voice. But it was just kind of funny, all this screeching, screaming classic rock stuff that was, you know, but it was all being sung by 14-year-old girls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they did, they had one girl who sang Peace of My Heart, Janis Joplin, you know, Big Brother and Holding Company. And she was really, really good. She started really strong. Like, I heard the intro to this song, and I thought, this could be really bad. Like, mm-hmm. if she can't actually do this, it's going to be, 2 minutes of complete discomfort. Anyway, but that was fun. Speaking of kids rocking out.
Yeah, my kid rocks out. She does. Our big thing over the vacation was... She now sings about anything. Black Shoes. That was the big song. Black Shoes. Black Shoes. Walk, walk, walk. Walk, walk, walk. Really quickly, because this is running pretty long.
Yeah.
I finished the Foresight Saga.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I already talked about it, over two other podcasts, so I'm not going to go into it. It ties everything up, which I really like. Like, all ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see you're also reading Kittens, Kittens, Kittens.
Oh, yes. Yes. Noah likes to read that book in a death metal voice to Audrey, which is hilarious. Like, I break down in tears laughing every single time.
You're tearing up right now.
I know, it's so funny. Kittens filled with mother's milk. That's hilarious. And I'm now reading 2001 Space Odyssey by Arthur C. Clarke. So, yeah. Perfect. She thinks it's funny, too.
Yeah.
Oh, she's sitting in a basket. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's all my reading, so.
Cool.
Just want to end with that. Yeah, so hopefully we'll be on a regular recording schedule now that we're both back from vacations and stuff. Kittens, kittens, kittens. thank you to everyone who's posting on the No Shawls, No Socks, what to do with sock yarn thing.
Yeah.
Been some really great patterns.
Yes.
And thanks for listening.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
About that, some of them die. water, sailing from the desert sand. But it was full of little 45, saving from another.